Mr. Bullfrog was enjoying the fresh air for the first time in 40,000 years. It fanned his embers, making his toes and fingertips flare agreeably, though he noted, with regret, that the passing centuries hadn't done anything much for his hay fever. Still, it was undeniably pleasant to be above ground and outside again, something that wouldn't have happened without his new friends, the Lushingtons. He thought about them as he strode across the downs, leaving a trail of gently smouldering footprints behind him. He'd known as soon as he saw them that they weren't humans from the realms, and they'd confirmed as much in so many words. The impression he'd got of the place they'd come from was still somewhat hazy, but he'd sensed that life there probably hadn't prepared Pat and Barry for the rather more robust cultures of the realms. And he was a little bit concerned in case they got picked on, or taken advantage of, or eaten. There was also the suggestion that Pat had made: take back his place on the council. Now there was a thought. Of course, all that had been a long time ago, before the realms were broken, and Snorro Grim was cast down, and the first elves came over the Western Sea in ships, complaining bitterly about the catering, and threatening to write to someone about it. Since then, well, he'd had enough, and who could blame him? He had dwelt among men, and they'd shot arrows at him. He had sought out the goblins, who'd fallen down and worshipped him, which is always disconcerting. The dwarves had tried to hook him up to their central heating system, and the elves, that hadn't been his fault. Well, it had, strictly speaking, and all the old maps had had to be redrawn. Elven Wood crossed out, and Ashfield written in over the top, all because of one little sneeze. And how could he have been expected to know that marshmallow pollen would have such a drastic effect on his hay fever? He stopped. It occurred to him to wonder whether, back in the old days, he'd have concerned himself with the welfare of mortals, wretched creatures of a day. Actually, probably not. Back then, it had all seemed so wonderfully clear and obvious. So much to burn, so little time. But there had turned out to be rather more time than he'd anticipated. And the sad fact was, once you've reduced one world to dripping lava, you've reduced them all. Was it possible that he'd gone soft, down there in the endless dark of Snoria? Maybe mellowed would be a better word. He smiled. He liked that. So, he was going to take back his seat on the council, and his mission would be to look after the new humans. In which case, it might be a good idea to get to know them. With that in mind, he'd set off for the old wizard's tower, where, according to Pat Lushington, lived the charming and sociable Barringtons. He was something important in something or other, and she did something he hadn't quite understood, and he was sure they were going to be great chums. On the edge of the greenwood, he stopped again, took out his asbestos handkerchief, and held it in front of his nose. The marshmallow was in bloom again, once torched, twice shy. In the distance, he could see a lot of people. All the goblins, if he wasn't mistaken, and all the dwarves, and quite possibly all the elves too, which was handy. He'd be able to make his announcement without having to traipse round the houses telling everyone separately. Also, he observed, a rather fat little human, who were standing on a box making a speech. It didn't seem to be going down too well, to judge by the muttering, head shaking, beard tugging, and gnashing of fangs. But nobody was throwing anything or ripping anybody apart. So clearly the conventions of debate had changed a bit while he'd been away, and probably no bad thing. He edged closer, and an overpowering scent hit him like a hammer. He raised his head and sniffed. He was hungry. Come to think of it, when was the last time he'd eaten anything? He tried to remember, but even he couldn't cast his mind that far back. Presumably, at some point in the distant past, he'd had something. Because even his kind had to eat, but... And just over there, near the big crowd, was something that smelt so utterly mouth-wateringly delicious that he could hardly think straight. Yum, he thought. Let me at it. When he came to think about it later, he wasn't proud of what he did next. Two enormous strides, a quick swish and grab, and he crammed the delicious morsel into his mouth, spat out the rind and chewed ecstatically. Whatever it was, burst in his mouth, flooding his senses with the most indescribably gorgeous jumble of flavours. He blinked, burped, and smiled. Wow, he thought. Never had one of them before. The rind, whose name was George, sat up and discovered that he was still alive. Remarkably, since he'd just been scooped up by a 15-foot-tall pillar of fire and swallowed whole. He looked round for the little wooden box containing the neutron bomb, but it didn't seem to be there. In which case, he shot the fire monster a horrified look, but nothing happened. For which, he rationalized, there were two possible explanations. Either the monster had swallowed a fully functional neutron bomb and survived, or else the rogue Ukrainian scientist he'd got it from had sold him a dud. Bastard, he thought. Still, as things had turned out, probably just as well. Something else. He tried to figure out what it was, but he couldn't. His hand instinctively groped for the back of his neck, but there was nothing there. Not having eaten for hundreds of thousands of years, Mr. Bullfrog had forgotten about heartburn, a condition with which he'd once been painfully familiar. He frowned. No, not heartburn. Something else. Definitely something he'd eaten. Oh, he said. It's you. Hi, Dad.
Junior.
Yes, Dad, it's me.
Did I just eat you?
Yes, Dad. I was inside the human. Mr. Bullfrog sighed.
If I've told you once, he said, I've told you 1,000 times.
Yes, Dad.
Cut it out, do you hear? I don't want you doing that stuff anymore.
No, Dad, sorry.
Oh, dear, thought Mr. Bullfrog.
Just as well he'd come back if Junior was up to his old tricks again. He was a good boy at heart, of course, and the trouble had only started when he'd got mixed up with the wrong crowd. My fault, he decided. The kid needs a father. Just as well I'm back. I won't do it again, Dad, I promise. He'd heard that one before.
Still, what can you do?
Sure, son, he said.
I believe you.
Can I come out now? Mr. Bullfrog sighed.
Not quite yet, son, he said.
Probably just as well if you stay put for a little while.
till I've had a chance to sort out any little messes you might have made. It's for your own good, he added, not unkindly. And then, he added, with just a little bit of an edge, there'll be no need to tell your mother about any of this. Mr. Bullfrog felt a cold shudder deep inside his digestive tract. Okay, Dad, you know best.